Apartments.com.
All right, I believe that it was on the 4th of July weekend a few decades ago when I made my memorable appearance in the Dalton Boys Baseball League All-Star Game. I still have the trophy from it. It is my most treasured trophy. Okay?
What is this story? The Dalton Boys?
You're being like my 10-year-old, man. My 10-year-old goes, Dad, what was that halfway through like a story? I'm not rewinding just because you weren't paying attention.
No. I didn't know.
A few decades ago in the Dalton Boys Baseball League, okay, it was the All-Star Game. And it was a big deal to me to play in this All-Star Game. And the fact that it was happening on the 4th of July weekend meant something to me even as a kid, because that's what baseball kind of was. Yeah. It was kind of the summer thing. Now, I bring this up because I had an epic fail at that All-Star Game. Okay, I was not a left fielder, but you know how it is at All-Star Games. The lesser of the All-Stars get put in the positions that you normally don't play.
Yeah.
So I was one of the best players on my team, but it was a bad team, and I wasn't good enough to be the pitcher or the shortstop, or you know what I'm saying. So I'm out in left field, and I had one play with a runner on third base. Guy lofts a fly ball to me, and I track it perfectly, and I catch it. And I try to throw the guy out at home plate, and I threw the ball 30 feet up the backstop.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I mean, and I uncorked the throw. Too bad it was like a mile over the catcher's head. And I'll never forget the catcher waiting for the throw and just watching him look up as this ball goes over his head and dinks off the screen.
Probably thought you were Chuck Knobloch.
I still laugh to this day at what those people in that dugout must have thought, because it really was that ridiculous.
Well, you had a chance to show off your arm at the All-Star game. You got to do it.
I did. And I didn't mean to do it, but I uncorked one, man, and boy, did it go. Like Sammy Sosa trying to gun out a runner at third base. The thing's 15 rows up in the third base section. And that day I also had one at bat, and I struck out on three pitches, and the first two were off speed, and I swung the bat once, missed, and I was done. And that was it. And yet it remains one of the greatest memories of my life. Even though that experience was just dreadful.
Was that the only time you ever made the All-Star team?
Yes. Yes, that is the truth.
I also only made one All-Star team as a little leaguer, and I walked the one time I was up and then stole second base and stole third base.
Wow. Did you really?
Oh, I was quite a speed.
Jared the Jet Carlin.
I was a speed demon. Absolutely. I was about to say still to this day I'm very fast, but I haven't run in a long time, and I'd probably all hamstring would come out my nose.
So you don't know that you're not still fast?
No, but I think I don't know. But I was always very deceptive. I ran track in high school, you know. But anyway, that was my big All-Star Game moment.
Events did you run in high school?
I ran the 100-meter dash, the long jump, the triple jump.
Wow. I've said this to a lot of people. People who see you just assume that you're unathletic.
You do say that to a lot of people. Why do you always say that, Dan?
I don't know. It's just kind of your look, dude. You just kind of like strut around like you're John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. So you don't carry yourself like an athlete, but I've played on a softball team. I've golfed with you. You're surprisingly athletic. Well, it was surprising to me. It wasn't surprising to you.
You're good at softball?
He had a home run his first at bat in this game we played.
Like over the fence?
Over a guy's head.
Yeah. Good enough. That's all that matters.
With a ball that it was very hard, hard to hit far,
just
too.
It was
giant softballs.
Yeah. Like the Chicago
ball.
Style.
The ones that are like basketball size, yeah.
Baseball was always my best sport growing up, too. But, yes, I used to be very fast.
So, is there a day that's more tied to a sport, like a holiday, that's more tied to a sport than the 4th of July to baseball?
Yes. Easily.
Christmas to basketball? Is that
Christmas
what
to basketball, Thanksgiving to football.
I would say Thanksgiving to football.
And New Year's Day to college football.
Yeah, I would agree. Christmas to basketball, that's a TV phenomenon. That's something that's been fed to us. That never happened organically. Football on Thanksgiving feels like that's part of the festivities.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how many people actually watch the NBA on Christmas Day.
I would say, though, even more so, and maybe not anymore, but when you were growing up, for sure, and even when we were growing up, New Year's Day with college football, right?
Yeah, that's
was
fair. I'll
the
give you that.
Day of the year for college football. The biggest bowl games were on New Year's Day.
Right.
That feeling of like, oh, it's this day. That means this sport's going to be on. And you're not wrong about the NBA on Christmas, but I don't know. On Christmas Day, I'm not like, I got to watch NBA.
Yeah.
But like on Thanksgiving, for sure, it's like, got to get away from the family and watch Detroit lose. And with on the 4th of July, it's like, you know what? There should be some baseball on.
A couple of my other memories from that year as a baseball all-star, since we're just kind of riffing on the romanticism and the poetry of sports here, and we're going to fold it into what Ian Desmond said in a moment here. There's actually a point to this discussion.
We're going to tear it all down in a minute.
Yeah, we are. That year, okay, I started out as I played catcher and shortstop for my baseball team. And that year, I'll never forget on a day when the sky was purple and black and it was rumbling and there were lightning strikes out in the distance. And I remember looking back at the umpire and I just said, Blue, can we stop? What are we doing here? He's like, shut up, kid. Right. And then,
shut up, Jarrett.
Right. Exactly. And I literally got just beat down by the umpire. No more than 10 minutes later, a bolt of lightning hit it beyond in the outfield, and the entire infield cracked. Could see it just go cracked.
Sounds like the natural, except
it
in
was.
Real life.
It was. And then we finally quit. That's all it took after I was begging with the umpire. That's how they roll on the south side of Chicago, dude. That's how they roll on the south side of Chicago. This was also the same summer that I gained about 40 pounds afterwards. Not that much, but a lot, because there was a hostess thrift
Mostis.
Shop.
Oh.
Yeah, no, a place where they sold Hostess products.
Snack
and then,
cakes.
Right, and they had them in bulk, but they would also, things would become expired, and they'd throw them in the dumpster. And at the time...
What?
Yeah.
Where is this story going?
Well,
I think we all know where the story is going.
Yeah, well, I was going right in the dumpster is what I was doing. And they had baseball cards on the bottom of Twinkies. So, yeah.
Which tasted better? The cards or the Twinkies?
Which lasted
dumpster
longer.
Dumpster Twinkies. There were Dumpster Twinkies.
Dumpster
is what
Twinkies
they were.
Is a great name for a band.
It is good.
Dumpster Twinkies.
It is good.
All right,
and
down.
Then finally, during that season, this is what led me being named an all-star. We ran out of pitchers. And my manager told me, said, can you pitch? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it. So I went up there. And I started throwing, and I started doing okay. And the best hitter for this other team came up, and he sees me on the mound, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this guy, right? He hit the ball about 900 feet foul. Foul.
Oh,
nine, that's a strike one.
And I ended up striking him out, and he was like Biff from Back to the Future, the looks he was giving. He was ready to tear me apart. I remember the catcher coming to the mound going, dude, I don't know what you're doing. But keep doing it because the ball is moving. I didn't know what I was doing. All of that spun into an all-star trophy that I have in my house.
What position did you play in the all-star?
Well, at left field. Again, if he was paying attention, you'd have you'd have known that.
No, but I'm saying,
a critical point of the story.
No, why I said that was how did the pitching lead to your all-star game if you played left field?
Because once I became a pitcher on my team, then I started to get an identity in the league. Then people said, okay, that kid's okay.
Dan Otani, they called you.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. But that was kind of it for me. I didn't walk in the All-Star game. Did you ever play baseball?
A little bit, but once you start playing hockey, you pretty consistently commit to hockey.
Okay.
I did. I mean, I played Little League baseball. Okay. I played on a couple really good teams, but I was not the reason they were really good teams. All I could do was hit, nothing else.
Right.
Really, not a fielder.
No. I mean, I was okay. I wasn't like the bad kid on the team, but I wasn't the reason we were winning either with my fielding.
Not every team, but every little league would have the couple players that were just so bad. It was awful. And if they were on your team, you had to be supportive, but it was like, oh, no, they're up in a big situation.
Right.
But they also had those kids either that hit puberty a little earlier than everybody else and were way bigger, had the wispy mustache at, you know, 11 years old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, they would always be the pitchers a lot of times, and they would throw so hard, and you'd go up there and be like, oh, just walk me on 4 pitches, please.
That was I'm not a big fan of watching the Little League World Series on TV. Like, it's fine. I mean, but the best part of it.
I hate it so much.
Well, because it's on every channel all the time when it's going, although at this point I miss it. But the best part is when you see the guy, the kid that is clearly like 37 on the other team, and you're just like, wait a minute.
Remember the one year when
Daniel Monte?
They got suspicious when he...
his grandkid was on the team,
when he
too.
Drove his kids to the...
Remember that team from Chicago was cheating like crazy, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Danny Almonte.
Yeah.
they got suspicious when after a game he took everybody to the bar and grill that he owned.
that he owned.
Right.
Okay, so here's the point. So baseball, among a generation, has spun all these incredible memories for people of a certain generation. There are all these great baseball-related movies, from The Natural to Bull Durham, all this stuff. So there is a rich history of what baseball can mean to this country if they could ever kind of get out of their own way. And that becomes the fundamental question for Major League Baseball, is this sport going to be so dumb that they are going to allow themselves to become extinct? Be based on their refusal to get along, based on labor spats, based on canceled World Series, based on 8 work stoppages since 1972, based on complete ignorance to a game that no longer fits the biorhythms of America? Are they going to let this all just get away from them? And I bring it up because Ian Desmond, who played for the Rockies and was one of the guys who opted out of this Major League Baseball season, we brought the news to you yesterday. I had no idea of his post on Instagram, which was phenomenal. He talked about going back to the little league fields that he was raised on in Sarasota, Florida, and how run down and how neglected they were. He walked up to like the office area in the fields, and there was a schedule from 4 years earlier that hadn't been updated. It just basically illustrated the sport of baseball in a terrible state of neglect, which I think is fairly symbolic to what is happening. So Ian Desmond in this post talks about how Major League Baseball has done nothing to cultivate a new generation of players, and particularly in inner cities, and the lack of minorities, particularly African Americans in baseball. It's stunning. This is what he wrote in this paragraph that I thought was just absolutely unbelievable when you get to the very, very end of it. Quote, "Think about it. Right now in baseball, we've got a labor war. We've got rampant individualism on the field. In clubhouses, we've got racist, sexist, homophobic jokes or flat-out problems. We've got cheating. We've got a minority issue from the top down. One African-American GM, 2 African-American managers, less than 8% black players, no black majority team owners. Perhaps most disheartening of all is a puzzling lack of focus or understanding on how to change those numbers, a lack of focus on making baseball accessible and possible for all kids, not just those who are privileged enough to afford it." And I read that, and it stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah, because you know what really stands out of all? There's a lot in there. But the less than 8% black players, mm-hmm. I don't think most people think about that when they think of baseball. And that's not something you can just flip tomorrow and say, okay, let's just go get some more black players. You've got to grow your game
everywhere.
That's
a lot of work. Everywhere.
And I say this because within hockey is a game that for the most part is, I say this as somebody that had no money growing up. It is a sport that you have every advantage if you are rich.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, for the most part, you can't play because of ice time and cost of equipment and everything. Baseball shouldn't have those costs.
No, it shouldn't.
And hockey is trying to deal with this internally. But people look at hockey and they're like, okay, they've got a diversity issue because you've got, you know, a lot of your players are from Sweden and Russia and Canada and, you know, whatever. People don't look at baseball and say they have a diversity issue, but they really do.
No, I totally agree with all of that. And I look at Major League Baseball, and I'm one that agrees with people who say it's the greatest game ever invented. It's just so awesome in terms of not having a clock, in terms of even the base paths you're running are counterclockwise. You know what I mean? And it right down to the individual matchups within the confines of a team game, everything about it, the strategy, the idea of a bat and a ball, a stick and a ball, everything about it is just so perfect and so inclusive to everybody. You don't have to be enormously tall to play baseball. In basketball, height matters.
It helps.
Football, right? Size matters.
Football, size matters. Strength matters. Hockey, strength matters. In baseball, you can be
Jose Altuve.
Yeah, you can be average and be good at baseball. And Major League Baseball has let all of this get away from them. All of this treasure trove of Americana They've let it all get away from them.
And I should amend what I was saying before. They have the diversity issue within the United States. I mean, there's obviously a lot of players from different countries, but within the U.S., that's where they have their diversity issue. And mm-hmm. so that, not that it's easy to fix, but that's like, that's almost less acceptable because this is right under your nose.
Yeah.
And that's, if somebody said to you, football or baseball, like Major League Baseball or the NFL was going to go extinct in the next 15 years, you'd probably say football, right? Just because of the head injury issue and, mm-hmm. and parents not wanting their kids to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love baseball, but it is different from the other sports in the sense that you really have to be committed to it and in the mood for baseball because it is slower and it is different and so steeped in history and everything. And they just, they have to make sure they find that balance between keeping it modern enough for your NBA fans and your NFL fans and not, you don't want to alienate your traditionalists, but mm-hmm. there's a fine line that you can walk.
Yeah. I think with all due respect, I think that that idea, I think the time has passed for that idea. I think being being respectful to the diehards who don't want any changes at all, I think that we're in baseball way too far down the road to ruin for that to be the case. And look, I've heard all the arguments. People always say, well, if you look around the grassroots level, there's a lot of kids still playing baseball. That is true. There's a lot of parents who sign up their kids for baseball, but there's also data that shows when kids choose whether they want to keep playing baseball or branch out and do this, that, or something else, they leave.
Yeah.
They don't all stay in baseball out of their own volition because the game, it just isn't, it's not the most satisfying game for a lot of people to play.
And it's more fun to watch for a younger generation than I'm sure than it is, or to play rather than to watch.
Without
a doubt.
Right.
How many of them are watching the NBA when they go home?
We talked about we talked about this yesterday, but there's no sport that is less built for the, you know, need a attention generation, the Generation Z, than baseball.
Well, not only that, you look at what young people find very attractive in sports heroes. They find individualism, they find swagger, personal brand, style, people with inner conviction, people who stand for something. The group mentality of the baseball clubhouse is completely antithetical to what I think a younger generation finds appealing in sports stars.
It's true. And plus, baseball's inability to market their stars at all.
Yeah.
Which compared
is crazy
to like the NBA or the NFL, where you see them everywhere. You turn on the TV or social media or whatever.
The NBA is so good at marketing their product. Mm-hmm. I would say even more so than the NFL at this point. The NBA has figured out how to market their sport and their individual athletes better than any other sport.
Yeah. How about this from Ian Desmond? Quote, I'm immensely grateful for my career and for all the people who influenced it. But when I reflect on it, I find myself seeing those same boxes. The golden rules of baseball, don't have fun, don't pimp home runs, don't play with character. Those are white rules. Don't do anything fancy. Take it down a notch. Keep it all in the box, end quote. Those are Ian Desmond's words, not mine. That's powerful stuff. This is a player who chose not to play for health and safety reasons, who is telling you how much he doesn't like what baseball has become.
Well, the part in it, the original statement that I was like, oh, yeah, when we said, like, we're dealing with cheatings. You forget, I always forget about the cheating scandal that was the biggest story in baseball mm-hmm. before all this started until it's brought up again.
Yeah.
Without all the bickering over money, without all the pandemic stuff, if in a regular season, the cheating scandal that cost three different teams their managers and would have been such a big thing.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So Major League Baseball, this is what to me is really... really come to the forefront during this pandemic and all of this endless bickering back and forth between owners and players. You just get the idea how out of touch they really are with how unimportant their game really is. I can imagine if you're a baseball owner and you've seen your valuation of your franchise go through the roof and see all the television money coming in that you're bound to think, hey, no, this is great. We're at the heart of everything. Baseball needs a reset like few other sports have ever had. They need a visionary to come in and change everything.
And that's what people thought Rob Manfred was going to be.
He has taken such a hit in the last 12 months.
I remember when he took over for Bud Selig, because everybody hated Bud Selig at that point. They were like, oh, we got a much, you know, a younger guy. He's going to try all these innovative things. He's going to make changes to the game, and he's been very disappointing.
Yeah, and I know people think I'm a crackpot when I come up with these really progressive ideas for Major League Baseball, but I know from having kids and seeing my kids operate with their friends, and I know from my own growing frustration with the lack of action, that there is so much that needs to be tweaked, and there is so much that needs to be streamlined and sped up and recalibrated for 2020. And I don't care how mad it makes the diehard fans who say, it's a great game, don't do anything. You stay on this path, baseball will be extinct by 2040.
All sports within the game have evolved and changed since they were first created or they first became popular.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, by far, has changed the least.
And
in fact, the way they have changed has been for the worse, where the games are longer, where the pitchers don't, you know, pitch complete games, stuff like that, where there's less action during a game, where there's more strikeouts. All the other basketball, you know, put in the 3-point line, and you know, football, you know, changed all the rules so there's more offense and stuff like that.
Yeah,
baseball is the only one that has hardly changed at all, and that's what people love about it.
Yeah,
that's why people hate it.
You have to have some foresight, though, and to your point, Bick, to me, it's not like you have to change this for 2020. It's you need to start changing it now for 2030.
Yeah,
because
that's
if you look
exactly
around,
right.
Yeah, the people at the games love baseball. The guys playing baseball love baseball. Torrey Lovello managing the Diamondbacks
loves baseball.
But what about your next generation if you want them to consistently watch baseball and choose it over other sports?
No.
Why you have to tweak things.
My son, my oldest son, who isn't the hugest sports fan, not much of a sports fan at all, he really gravitates to international soccer matches, and it's because it's got a global bent that younger kids love. Younger kids are so inclusive. They are so connected globally. Most parents of my age have kids who have friends in other countries. It's amazing.
And here's the other thing about soccer and why it's been growing so much over the last decade especially, is that one, you know how long it's going to be essentially. It's 90 minutes and then you're done.
I mean, I've got some things about soccer I would change, but go ahead.
There's two halves.
Uh-huh.
And it's just constant. Once it starts, it's constantly
never stops.
Going.
Clock,
and it never stops.
It's on in here right now.
Yeah.
And even though,
after 2 hours.
Even though to the people like us maybe that don't like soccer, we're like, well, yeah, it's constantly going, but nothing is happening. To somebody who also wants to be on their phone at the same time,
yeah,
it's constantly happening, and you can half pay attention. Whereas baseball, where it feels like nothing is happening, and nothing is happening, and then you look up and it's a commercial or a pitching change or whatever.
Yeah. I just think, I mean, when you compare those two sports, the thing about soccer, and again, if you are a baseball fan, I'm a baseball fan, so I'm fine with baseball the way it is, but I also understand that it's not going to be thriving 10 years down the line if it's staying the same and these other sports are changing. If you watch a soccer game on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, you've still got your whole day ahead of you afterwards. If you watch a baseball game at 1 o'clock and it might go 5 hours, yeah, that's fine if you are a hardcore baseball fan, but it's not going to draw people in.
All right, people make the argument that, well, a football game goes 4 hours.
Once a week, and it's football.
And it's once a week, and it's football, and it's all that stuff. It's violent. The moments of pause in football are full of suspense.
But
the huddle is a moment of great suspense.
I'll make the argument, though, and maybe you felt this recently. College football is too long now.
Way too long.
It feels like that's even longer than the NFL, and it feels long.
That's because of the commercials, though.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And because they still
longer
have those
half-time
silly rules that the clock stops after first downs, which is just
terrible.
Asinine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's enough college football games that don't really matter. Like, you will follow your school, and you'll follow, like, for me, I'll follow a couple schools I don't like because I want to see them lose, and I'll follow the big teams.
Uh-huh.
But, those Big Ten games that pop on a Saturday morning when you really want to watch college football because you've been waiting all week, and you get, like,
Purdue versus
Iowa.
Versus Iowa.
The MAC game.
The final score is 6-3.
The Central Michigan versus University of Ohio game.
Yeah. As somebody who grew up in the Midwest, I am still traumatized by Big Ten football.
It's that bad.
All right, that's our love letter to baseball. Wake up, please, for the good of us, for the good of the country. All right, coming up, a round of yay or nay. It's Bickley and Lipinski, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, today's poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Which team wins more games next season? The Buccaneers with Tom Brady or the Patriots with Cam Newton? I have my answer.
Yeah, that's going to be... Man, I'm going to go Patriots. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Bill Belichick here.
Yeah, I'm going Patriots too. 70% say the Buccaneers.
Wow.
So, again, just to be clear, in case people forgot, the Patriots win double-digit games every single year.
Every year.
And they do still have the Jets and Dolphins in their division. I understand that the Buccaneers with Brady is a more fun story. You got Brady with BA. You've got receivers for him to throw to. The Patriots with Jarrett Stidham, I think I would take to win as many games, if not more.
Now, that's an interesting thought. We're going to get into it a little bit later on. There's an AFC East coach, anonymous AFC East coach, who swears that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the starter, that Cam Newton is going to be nothing more than like a wildcat specialty guy. We'll talk about that in a bit. Ready for some yay or nay, Carlin?
Quickly and Murata. See or no? We or nah? Yay or nay?
All right, we are halfway through the year 2020. What a year it's been.
Nay.
And yeah, nay.
That's right. Yes, and still lots of speculation on what sports will look like for the rest of the year, if they will happen or what. Yay or nay, you would give up all sports for the rest of 2020, so there would be no sports for the entire rest of the year. If I guaranteed you that there would be no sports stoppages at all for any reason for the next decade.
Yeah, I'd do that. So, just to be clear, like the sports that are going on in other countries, if I need to distract myself with them, those are still there?
I guess. You could watch Bundesliga.
Okay, that's on right now. Yeah, I would.
But no college sports, no baseball, no basketball, and no hockey.
For 6 more months, though, and then I'm guaranteed I'd get them for 10 years.
Correct.
All of them.
Correct.
And nothing like weird, like, oh, you get college football, but only 3 games.
No, correct. But you could get it this year and then get it like that anyway.
Man, I don't know.
At this point, yeah.
Could you go the rest of the
kind of like
year.
That kid in the marshmallow, man. I want that first marshmallow. I don't know if I can wait for the second.
Especially, yeah, I mean.
It's been 6 more months. I don't know.
Do I know the whole time, or do I keep getting led on like, oh, but sports might be coming back next week?
It's only been 3 months. Since we last
that
had
can't
sports.
Be true. It feels like it's been 28 years.
And it would be twice that long again for the rest of the year.
You're using math to try and convince me.
Plus, how disappointing would it be? All right, that's fine, though. That's your answer.
Only because I'm guaranteed the 10 years of everything. Because that means... Wait, so I get fans back and everything for the next 10 years, too? Like, I get sports the way they are supposed to be? Yeah, just because I don't know that baseball is going to come back for the full season anyway, and as much as I love hockey and basketball, they're going to be kind of this weird playoff thing.
Okay.
I mean, I want them to come back. Baseball's supposed to start 3 weeks from tomorrow, believe it or not.
All right. Got some July 4th questions. We have Independence Day coming up this weekend. This is very basic. Yay or nay, you enjoy fireworks.
Yay. I don't think they're necessary. Like, to me, it's not going to be like, oh, I didn't go see fireworks
on
Saturday.
Do you usually go?
I used to when I was a kid and I lived in Seattle. The thing is here, like, you can just, everything's so flat, you can just look in a direction and see
that. Yeah, but there is something that when you're close to them and that boom.
That little.
Do you remember,
right?
Remember?
That's the sound of it leaving the canister. That was pretty good, actually.
That was
right up there.
That was transcendent.
I love the first you see it, and then like a split second later, the boom. I love that.
Do you remember that year in San Diego where they accidentally set off the entire display at once?
I was there for that.
Yes.
I was there. It was. Listen, I've got pictures that will blow your mind from that. The thing that was amazing about that, I'll tell that story later.
Right.
Okay, yeah, because it's one of my best 4th of July stories.
But you do enjoy fireworks?
I do. They can be very pedestrian in some places. As long as the fireworks display has some ingenuity to it. Like,
yes.
You know, I like the fireworks that explode and then have a double explosion. Like, it spawns a second one.
Sure, or they explode and then all of a sudden it's a shape. Or
yeah,
it's a word.
Right. Or it all starts shimmering.
Yeah.
It's just Jeff Goldblum's face and firework.
Right. Yes. Yes. We have a fire. Yes.
It's like you were already doing the impression before I even said that.
You knew I was going to do it. All right. A lot of very popular day to barbecue July 4th, especially hot dogs. But yay or nay, the greatest meat encased tube. How would you say that?
Not like that.
The greatest meat that's encased in a tube.
That's right, exactly. Yay or nay is a bratwurst.
Ooh. I'm a big fan of the right kind of bratwurst, and it would rank slightly ahead of a good Italian sausage for me.
I will say, you also have Polish sausage. You have a knockwurst, whatever that is.
For me, it's hot links. So I guess my answer
hot
is
links.
Nay. Yeah.
What is a hot link exactly? Is that like a sausage?
I think. Yeah,
spicy?
It's like a spicy Italian sausage.
I love a spicy Italian sausage with sautéed peppers and onions on it.
It's pretty good.
Oh, mamma mia.
Yeah.
But a bratwurst that's cooked, boiled in beer and then grilled.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, don't misunderstand
that's
me. Bratwurst is amazing. I'm just saying it's given
a
choice.
Yay or nay sauerkraut?
Nay. Hard. Nay.
I could bet that you would guess that I love that.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
Do you like sauerkraut or coleslaw more? Like if I
sauerkraut, absolutely.
Okay. Coleslaw is
I could give or take. I prefer a coleslaw that's vinegar-based rather than a mayonnaise-based.
I think I'm out on coleslaw this year.
Out in general?
I think it's going to have to win its way back into
but
my
life. It works really good to cut through. If you're eating something like fried chicken or like ribs or something that's very like heavy and rich...
You want something
that's like crisp and
green
light
and crisp, light. And,
but if I'm eating,
although coleslaw is not necessarily green.
Yeah,
no, it could be
kind of whitish,
white and purple.
If I'm eating ribs, I'm completely focused on ribs for the entire meal.
Yeah, don't worry about the coleslaw.
I am.
Are you really? Are you the type? You seem like you would be. You freak. Are you the type of person?
I don't want to answer this
that
question.
Eats,
no.
That has like four things on their plate.
No, I'm not one of those people.
Okay,
those people
have you ever seen those people?
Yes, I
where
have.
It's like they eat all of one thing, then they eat all of the other thing, then they eat all of the other thing.
I've never experienced that.
Like there'd be somebody,
both of you have.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen people that get hamburger and french fries, and they'll sit and they'll eat all the french fries, and then they'll eat their hamburger.
And it's not like absent-mindedly, like, oh, I ate the fries. No. Don't make me eat any of my hamburger. I have to finish the fries first. I can't.
Wow.
That's not me at all.
Weird.
In fact, I think you have to go back and forth. Have a little burger, a little fries.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I time out my meal so that I will finish, my main course and the side dishes all at the same time, so that I can enjoy them all.
That's a little intense, but okay.
Finally, it is Beavis and Butthead are coming back, and we talked about how one of their signature bits was they used to make fun of the music videos on MTV the time. Yay or nay, the greatest music video of all time. Is Michael Jackson's Thriller. Often at the top of the rankings when they do these. Does anything else pop out right away?
Van Halen's Hot for Teacher, when all the members of Van Halen are now reduced to being young school kids. And the teacher's wearing a bikini.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure it was the Van Halen part, not the teacher part that you immediately thought of.
It's not hot for Van Halen.
There might have been a Whitesnake video here or there that have been really good.
I remember in these rankings that November Rain. Do you remember the November Rain?
I sure do.
That was
video
a good video.
That was
Guns N' Roses.
Stephanie Seymour when her and Axl Rose were a thing. That was a good video.
Wait, Axl Rose was actually dating that girl?
He was.
Wow.
Very briefly.
I'm going to say nay just because of the percentages. I can't think of one that's necessarily better off the top of my head. But Thriller's got to be up there. I just think it was so overplayed when we were kids that like every list you'd go through the countdown and be like, oh, I hope it's something different every time.
Yeah,
it was Thriller.
True.
So just kind of have Thriller fatigue.
It's hard to argue with that one. I mean, that is such an iconic video. What else is out there that was that iconic?
Are we completely just wiping out anything from like the last 10 years? I mean, they do still make
nothing,
music videos.
I know, but nothing from the last 10 years, the Single Ladies video is the only one that pops to my head that I remember.
And you
California
can do that
Love is pretty cool. when Tupac and Dr. Dre were in like that roller dome, Thunderdome thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember how about
like Mad Max?
Yeah.
Remember the Money for Nothing video?
Yeah, I remember that.
At the time, the computer generation was so like innovative, now it's so lame.
It's so dreadful.
Wasn't Sledgehammer, that song I remember.
Peter Gabriel?
Having
that was
like
really good.
Video.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
Jamiroquai where he's just in the room and it's all sliding
and
sideways?
He's like, and he's just like walking and he's like, Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
Remember music videos when that was a real big thing? Michael Jackson, I remember the time and Black and White. Both had like premiere events for the music video.
That is the problem. Like, there's still music videos now, but there's not enough emphasis put on them. So, as an artist, are you really going to pour that much time into it?
Maybe the difference would be the Childish Gambino video.
Yeah,
yes,
maybe
that's true.
That was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
was it that long ago?
Yeah, I think so. 3 or 4 years ago.
All right, that's it.
Is that good? All right, we're talking some NFL football. Next, Dan Bickley, Luke Lipinski filling in for Vinny. You're listening to Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back. Dan Bickley, Luke Lipinski filling in for Vinny. The news never stops in the National Football League. Cam Newton, now a member of the New England Patriots. And I saw some amazing statistics about this, about how rare it is for a team to transition from one former MVP quarterback to another.
Yeah, I can't imagine it happens very often at all.
No, and in fact, there are only three teams in history where an MVP on any level was followed by the teams that a team lost an MVP and then brought one in the following year. 2005, it happened with the Cardinals with Emmitt Smith and Kurt Warner.
Oh, okay, so you're not even saying just a quarterback. You're
There's two different stats, and it's even more rare for a former MVP quarterback to replace the same than it is just an MVP of any kind.
Yeah, especially when you know. I mean, because I guess you could make the case with the Packers, like they had Brett Favre, and then eventually Aaron Rodgers won an MVP. But this is different. You're bringing in a guy that just won MVP not all that long ago.
Now, this is what's interesting to me, because there were a lot of people, myself being one of them, who thought, okay, you know what, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, they're worn out by the Belichickian vibe in Foxborough, where don't have fun, don't make fun of the opponent, don't make fun of Rex Ryan's foot fetish, don't do any of that stuff, right? Because we don't want it. And Rob Gronkowski seemed to validate that, who chose to retire from football rather than play in New England and then come back up for a different organization. There are people, and Randy Moss is at the front of this, who says that we've all got Bill Belichick wrong in this regard, that Bill Belichick will embrace Cam Newton. And Randy Moss, he said the offense is going to be a lot more fun with Cam Newton than it was with Tom Brady. Now, I don't know what he means by that, but having fun.
I definitely believe, look, I'm not a Patriots fan. I think that's pretty clear. Anybody who's heard me speak for more than 5 seconds, but Bill Belichick is the best coach in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't become the best coach in NFL history by only being able to coach one way. And so I've heard, there's a lot of these rumblings that the Patriots are going to be sort of like the Ravens have been, where they're going to have a very different looking offense that isn't going to be so heavy on the passing attack. But Cam Newton can chuck the ball down the field too. So you have that option,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to try and win with defense or whatever. We've seen them do that in the past, even with Brady. I have this recurring nightmare that we are going to all look around the NFL at the other 31 teams and be like, you idiots, why couldn't one of you have just picked Cam Newton up? So the Patriots could not.
That's
because
a great point.
His upside, I understand he was terrible last year. I understand he's been hurt and there's a risk. But his upside is higher than what? At least half of the other starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
And he's supremely motivated. So he's going to be as motivated to reclaim his career and get Carolina behind him as Tom Brady is to the New England Patriots. Here's what I think I might have had wrong about Tom Brady, because in watching him compete on any Sunday, you see how emotional he is, how angry he gets when things don't go well, the sideline barking that goes on. Maybe that's what Randy Moss is referring to. Maybe Tom Brady is so hyper intense about everything that Tom Brady suppresses the amount of fun they're having, not Bill Belichick. I don't know whether I believe it, But this is kind of what Randy Moss is saying.
It flies in the face, though, of it sure seems like Gronk has a lot of fun, and it sure seems like Julian Edelman has had a lot of fun. Now, I get that that's off the field or whatever, and those are just the fruits of winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl. But, I mean, I would go play for a team that was probably going to win me a Super Bowl within 1 or 2 years and just have my fun off the field.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I agree. I totally agree with that. I think this is going to be interesting. I think you're right. This is an awful lot of football player to give to Bill Belichick. And I'm of the belief that Cam Newton didn't get a whole lot of coaching, didn't get a whole lot of direction, certainly didn't get a whole lot of discipline or structure in Carolina. He kind of ran the show for a while. And I think it's going to be fascinating because if he opens his mind to Bill Belichick, this could be interesting. This could be really, really damaging to every other team in the AFC.
I would go one step further. When's the last time Bill Belichick got a quarterback like this? Like, we know how great Brady is now, but when they got Tom Brady, he was a seventh-round pick. Mm-hmm. And all these other guys, Jacoby Brissett, Matt Castle, and Brian Hoyer, and other quarterbacks that have played there. I mean, I guess Jimmy Garoppolo, but not anywhere on the level of Cam Newton. When's the last time we saw Bill Belichick get a quarterback that was already good?
Wow.
It's got to be Drew Bledsoe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The argument, though, is that how good is he?
Cam Newton?
Yeah. How good is he right now in 2020?
Well, he clearly wasn't. He hasn't been that good since 2016. He's been very injured. He's dealt with concussions. He had a team basically bail on him last year. So, yeah, I think it's been the arrows are pointing in the wrong direction. But how much of that is talent and skill based?
Well, in a normal off season where he could have had normal workouts, he could have had normal checkups from the doctor and all that stuff. Would he have already been on another team?
Yeah.
Like, was that the biggest thing that held everybody up?
I think so.
And the
yeah.
Patriots benefited from it.
That's very, very possible.
And the Patriots always benefit.
Well, and like you said, it's a great point because the reason the signing took so long is that Bill Belichick waited to get him at his price. He's going to make, what, $7.5 million in best case scenario if he hits all his incentives. And so you're right. Well, I don't know why some other NFL team didn't maybe look at that and go, let's bring him in. But then again, did Cam Newton want to go to another team where there he might be a backup? We don't know if that was even kind of something he wanted to consider. And if you're the Patriots, so that's good. You wouldn't want a guy who's content with being a backup.
No, they want the competition there. But, I mean, look, the bottom line is as simple as you can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas puts out their odds to take your money. And Vegas has Cam Newton, what, ninth in terms of entire NFL most likely to win MVP?
Right.
They have him tied with Kyler and Aaron Rodgers, but the Patriots just went out and got a guy whose MVP odds are now ninth in the entire NFL, and they didn't have to give
that's
up anything or pay anything.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Diana Rossini tweeted this out, quote, I spoke over text with an AFC East head coach on Cam Newton and the Patriots. Quote, I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks. Use Cam Newton perhaps as the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one in that offense. I know one thing for a fact. The Patriots love Jarrett Stidham. End quote.
I spoke over text. It was the part right away that made me giggle.
Yeah, that is kind of impossible.
That is a weird way to say it.
Unless you voiced a text,
yeah,
then it would be right on the money.
I know you do enjoy that. Have you seen the other
what
NFL?
What do you mean I enjoy that?
I've seen you use the voice to text.
Does your voice to text work? Mine has gotten me in trouble.
It's so awful.
Every single
time. It's so frustrating because you're doing it to like save time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it takes so much longer.
But you have to check it before you send it, and then you're like, oh, I have to go back and delete this word or re-say this word.
Yeah.
The worst is when you have something playing in the background and it catches like every third word of that. And
I had somebody voice to text me once, and they were driving, and in the middle of doing it, they yelled some obscenities at somebody that had cut them off, and it showed up in the text because they just sent it to me.
See? Right.
And I was like, wait, what?
Right, what?
We're even talking.
Yeah.
Now, did you see the other bit of semi-NFL news that they have cast the Kurt Warner movie?
I have not seen this.
Zachary Levi, perhaps best known for playing Shazam.
Okay.
And for playing Chuck in the TV show Chuck, and he was in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Chuck is going to be Kurt Warner?
Yes. He actually looks a lot like him in at least the picture that I saw side by side.
Wow.
He's a big, strapping guy.
Is Kurt Warner going to go back and remake Chuck and Shazam?
I think Shazam is especially.
Okay. Nice. I'll watch those. It'll be great.
I'll be curious to see what that screenplay looks like. Where do they start that movie? How much does it include? Arizona, St. Louis?
When does it end?
When does it end?
Does it end with him winning the Super Bowl? Or does it go then go to the Giants and Cardinals?
Or does it never end? It just keeps going.
You're talking about his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm
Does it include
about.
Me begging with him to come back instead of Ryan Lindley on the air?
That would be fantastic if you were in this movie. You couldn't get into the Michael Jordan doc, but they had somebody playing you in this movie.
Oh, maybe you get to pick who plays you then. You should get to be a part of the casting.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Except you
I
can't have the guy
idea.
From Chuck because he's already playing
right.
Kurt Warner.
I love that idea. All right, we're halfway there on a Wednesday that feels like a Friday. Are we good? Can I go to break, Jared?
Oh, we're halfway there on a show and halfway
through
the year. We're
living on a prayer. You're right about that. The Bickley Blast coming up next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.